Hallelujah. You can have your seat now, praise the Lord. As we go, hallelujah, as we step into a new season, a new time, with a definite direction, as we proceed forth from a conference like this, I want to ask you a question. What mandate have you received? What mandate? You must always ask yourself after every service in church, particularly special meetings. What's the mandate? Because we saw that in the four Gospels, the four synoptic accounts that we have, in Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, which is the word power, has been given to me in heaven and earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He gave them a mandate. Verse 20, teaching them to observe what things soever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. In Mark 16:15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In fact, verse 20 says, they went forth everywhere preaching the word. The Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs followed. In the Luke's gospel account, 47, he says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Begin at Jerusalem, 48, you are witness of these things. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you tie in the city of Jerusalem, 49, till you be endued with power from on high. In John 20:21, say, peace unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Then he breathed on in 22, and he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain are retained unto them. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you, and you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. A mandate, therefore, gives you a direction as to what to do, and also where to do it. What to do, and where to do it. As you are leaving this conference, what is the mandate? Where is the mandate? And when is the mandate? You must ask yourself, what is the mandate that I have received? Where is the mandate? And when is it? What's the mandate? What's the direction? What's the direction? Is a man that doesn't know where he's going to, that gets on the journey and begins to ask people, where do you think I should go? And then every journey is his journey. You get on the expressway and then you follow every car. When you have direction, you know where you are going to. You set out in the morning. Imagine if they ask you at your gate, they say, where are you driving to? Well, when I get on the road, I'll find out. You think maybe you are not serious. Or you get to the road and say, maybe I should decide to follow this car. Wherever this car is going, I'll go. Oh, this car is very fast. It must be going to a place I want to go. Or this car is very, looking very good. I must like it. Or you meet a friend. Oh, you're already on the road. The guy says, I'm going to Yaba. You say, let me just follow you. Or you see a convoy of cars and you follow them. It means you are either confused or you don't have a direction for your life. You don't leave a conference like this and follow any vehicle. You already have a mandate. You already have a direction. And also, as you set out to go, let's say you want to go to Ibadan, and you set out to go, then you see traffic, which is a constant phenomenon anyway, in Nigeria and Lagos, and that journey. You now see traffic, you say, since there's traffic, maybe I should just park my car here and stay here and leave here. Nobody does that. Or because there's traffic, maybe that means there's no more Ibadan. Maybe nobody can ever get to Ibadan. Maybe I shouldn't even go to Ibadan. Maybe there's no way to Ibadan. Maybe Ibadan is even vanished. You don't say that. You persist. You keep going. You find every way to get to your destination, because where you are going to is a precious destination. For example, if you're sent an honor in your company and they tell you, you must make sure that you deliver this, whatever, maybe it's a message, maybe it's, you know, something for your company. And you must represent the company, you must get there. And you know that a lot of things depends on it. You won't just get on the road and say, ah, because there's traffic, or maybe because the car has a fault. You say, I'm not going anymore. Let me just go home and sleep. No, because of the crucial nature of the journey, you ensure you get there. You ensure you get there. Which means, when you have a divine mandate, no obstacle is strong enough. When you have a divine mandate, no delay is forceful enough. When you have a divine mandate, you don't join every car on the road. You don't join trends. You don't join, oh, this is what everybody is now doing and saying. You don't do it. When you have a divine mandate, you don't watch what others are doing. You already have a mandate. And that is what you follow. Hallelujah. A mandate gives you a direction. It tells you. A mandate also shows you that you have restrictions. You have areas you don't delve into because you have a mandate already. Go into all the world. He told them, preach the gospel. Make disciples. Preach repentance and remission of sins. He was clear. So you must be clear in your mandate. See, I'm clear in my mandate. I don't think I heard you. I'm clear in my mandate. As a local church, you must be clear in your mandate. Don't become impressionable. Many of us can be impressionable. Impressionable, you know, it's such a, when we come for meetings like this, it only lasts 1 week. Some of us just 1 month. Some of us just 6 months. Some of us 3 months. Because we quickly forget where we're going to. Where were you heading to? Where were you going to? What was the mandate? What was the goal? What was the focus? Last year, or this year we're passing through, the whole world faced a pandemic. And they shut down many churches. And some of us quickly switched. And we had to blend with the immediate environment. Things you never used to do before, you began to do it now. Did you not have a mandate? In spite of the obstacles, didn't you have a mandate? You quickly forgot what you were set out to do. Because you felt you had no direction. You were now watching. What are people now doing? Okay, everybody is now doing morning prayers. Okay, let me do it too. Everybody is now doing it. Let me do it too. Everybody is doing this and doing that. Let me do it too. Why did you do that? Didn't you have a mandate? You followed the mandate. A man on a mission does not change even when the season has changed. What is the mandate on your life? For your church. As a pastor, it must be clear to your leadership, to the membership, to the workers, what the mandate is. Doesn't matter when things go the other way around. And you think, it seems like, now there's a lockdown. They say, okay, the churches must not meet more than 50. Which is a good regulation if it's a health regulation. Okay, now, just on Sundays, and then you begin to fidget. What do I do? Hey, maybe so that I don't lose members to another church. Now, some of us are like that. Ah, okay, let me quickly do something so that I'll keep the flock. Okay, so you begin to panic. Why are you panicking? Why are you panicking? He that believeth doesn't make haste. Hallelujah. Why are you panicking? You have a divine mandate. You are walking by grace and not by chance. You are walking by divine direction and not by just opportunities. Hallelujah. When a man is led by the Spirit, he doesn't take every opportunity. He prays over opportunities because he has a mandate on his life. Hallelujah. You don't follow the multitude. You don't follow the crowd. You don't follow what everybody's doing. You don't say, well, since everybody's doing it, I've got to do it. There's nothing wrong in being different. What did I say? If you have a mandate on your life, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong in being different. You are not trying to be different. You are not trying to prove a point to anyone. But if God has called you and given you a mandate and others don't see it, it makes no difference. It simply means because God had called you, not because you set out to be, you've got to stick to the divine mandate. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Two things will always, always earmark people in life that have the grace of God upon their life. Number one, there's an original calling. Original calling. They didn't set out to copy anybody. They didn't set out to please anyone. They didn't set out to do things so that the world would clap. Number two, they are not disobedient to the heavenly calling. You stick to the mandates. See, I stick to the mandates. Which means you know where you are going. When you know where you are going, you know where you got there. When you don't know where you are going, you even know wherever you have gotten to. You know when you've gotten there. You know the way. You know the goal. So what is the mandate? As we close this conference, make sure this conference doesn't end next week. It doesn't end tomorrow for you. It doesn't end in March. It doesn't end in May. Make sure this conference never ends for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. You carry on the mandates. You carry on the mandates. So I'll leave you with one instruction as we close World Changers Conference 2020. It's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. I read it to you earlier on. Paul says, be steadfast, immovable. I want you to write those words out one by one. What's the first word there? So put it down. Put your name and say, Chegu, be steadfast. That's the first thing. Be steadfast. It means be consistent. Be consistent. Be consistent in your relationships. Don't pick new relationships all of a sudden. Be consistent. Who and what has God led you to? Be consistent. In the work of the ministry, be steadfast. Be consistent. I had to beg a preacher years ago. I said, can you just do 1 year of consistency? Just one. I said, I beg you. If it's just 1 year, let us see you do the same thing at least for 365 days, please. He said, Pastor, this year, I promise you. I said, don't promise me. Promise yourself. The next week, I didn't see him again. What a curse. Be steadfast in your prayer life. Be steadfast in the work of the ministry. Be steadfast. You know, a guy was writing one day, you know, this social media now, a lot of people write all sorts of things. Missing manuscripts, hidden manuscripts. And then he said, there's nothing special about being consistent. You can be consistent in error. You know, we should not be saying consistency is important. And I'm wondering, how do people get boldness to write nonsense? So you are glorifying unfaithfulness. Say, I'm consistent. So put it down. Say, put your name there. I'm steadfast. Put your church name there. We are steadfast. We are consistent. That's the first thing. In the divine mandate. In the mandate on your life. You have a goal. Supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God. What are you marking this year, this coming year to win? Oh, what if things happen? What if the government shuts down the churches? And they say no preaching, no meetings. What if that happens? There is still a mandate on your life. Hallelujah. No excuse is good enough. Be steadfast. Immovable. You must expect opposition. You must expect difficulties. Prepare for contrary winds. What did I say? I don't think I heard you. Are you sleeping this early morning? What did I say? What did I say? Prepare for contrary winds. Don't get shocked when you see contrary winds. Just ensure that you are consistent. Don't get shocked when something happens. This last year, some of us lost our jobs. Because the economy was just like that. The economies of the world went down. And Christians lost their jobs. Born again people who knew their rights in Christ. And there was nothing wrong about it. There was nothing odd, about it. Because we're just in this world. It is not an excuse not to carry out the divine mandate. Some businesses went down. Some people lost. As a businessman, I set things out. In fact, there was something I planned for April. I traveled to the country. We had made the agreement. I was already making plans. I called our company team. I was already talking to them. It was a Sunday I was meant to travel that the government said, damn, everybody stay in your house. Hey! I was waiting. Maybe in 2 weeks. Maybe in 3 weeks. Until August. The entire opportunity went like balloon. You know when you look at the balloon going, they go, boom! And it was gone. Doesn't matter. You keep your eyes on the ball. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on the ball. Be steadfast. The second instruction, be immovable. Be immovable. Let nothing shake you. Prepare for opposition. Prepare for contrary winds. Let me add one more. Prepare for people who are close to you to go astray. I don't say pray for it. But if it happens, prepare. Prepare for those who are committed to the same cause. Suddenly change course. I'm never surprised. I've seen it over the years. People will make noise. They will shout. They will say, God told me. God led me. Supernatural relationships. This is supernatural relationships I'm going to keep in the name of Jesus. Some simple things. Bam. They'll be looking for reasons why they did not obey God who sent them to do something. You know, some of us look for reasons and we explain it away logically. Logically. Say, I'm immovable. Say, I'm immovable. Number one, he says, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. I'm going to give you an instruction. Watch your friends. Ensure that they are steadfast. Because if your neighbor begins to eat insects, and you don't tell him, your friend, both of you will not sleep. When you don't watch over your friends, you will be distracted eventually. You must watch your friends and say, Chef, what is going on? This is not what we prayed about. This is not the prophecy that we received. This is not what we set out to do. Be steadfast and immovable. Immovable. Paul told them in Acts 20, 22. He says, see. He says, persecution and affliction abide me in Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost witness in every city. And he says, but none of these things move me. None of these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, nothing will move me. Say, nothing will move me. Not even my emotions are strong enough to move me. None of these things move me. You keep your eyes on the goal. As a church, you say, we're going to win 10,000 souls to Christ. Keep your eyes on the goal. Say, as a church, we're going to double this year. As a church, we're going to go in triple fold this year. Keep your eyes on the goal. As a church, we're going to plant more things, more places, in more places. Keep your eyes on the goal. Be immovable. Be immovable. Be immovable. Hallelujah. I told them, when there was a lockdown, I told the leader, I said, we are not going to do anything new. I told them, no. I said, we don't follow the condition of society. We are not going to do anything in panic. Nothing new. We are just going to continue our usual style of ministry. And we did. Hallelujah. We did. It gave us multiplied meetings, multiplied leadership, multiplied works. And multiplied increase. I said, we're not going to do anything new. Because we have a mandate. See, I have a mandate. See, I have a mandate. I have a mandate on my life. Glory to God. I know where I'm going to. I know the direction. I know the focus. Do you have a focus as a church? Keep your focus. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Some guys will come and talk you out of it. But be immovable. Number one, be steadfast. Be consistent. Every root of inconsistency is removed in your life in Jesus' name. You are consistent by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are in churches, keep your word. When you say you are committed to a church, be there. Don't start looking for conditions. Don't start changing. I've told you. When you are on social media, know who your pastor is. When you are on Facebook, know who your pastor is. You can't be the dog that follows every sound. You will go crazy one day. A dog knows his owner. A sheep should know the shepherd. A child should know his parents. A Christian should know his local church. Don't say, but since other churches are doing it, is the name of your church other churches? Your pastor's friend is not your pastor. Did you hear that? Your pastor's friend is not your, and some of you, because you came to this place, you met new people. You met new folks, okay, maybe in your chariot, then foolishly, you begin to get to have such emotional connection to people and begin to think like they think, even though you had a mandate on your life and in your church. Don't be careless. Don't be immovable. The third and the final one. Always abounding. Hallelujah. Say, I abound. Say, I abound. That means you are always increasing. You are always increasing. Glory to God. We have prayed and we have dealt with stunted growth. It's no more in our ministries. None of us will remain the same again. None of our churches will remain the same again. So you must always abound. You must prepare your mind, your thoughts, your actions for increase. That's why I told you, don't forget the instructions I gave you. Don't say stupid things. See, don't say stupid things. Don't say things that don't work. I've told you already, there's no local church that fulfills the will of God that is filled with excuses. When you see churches that are fulfilling God's will in their life, they are strong on honor, strong on loyalty and commitment, strong on giving and generosity and sacrifice. Hear me? Don't be stupid. Don't speak down on important things. Don't. When you see people begin to say things, just switch off and let them be disturbing themselves. Don't do it. Don't speak down prayer. How would you? Don't. Hallelujah. Don't. Don't speak down meetings that have changed you. Some of us, we have meetings that have changed our life, like this meeting. Then somehow you find reasons the next year not to come. It will have an effect on you. You know what works. Stay with it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me close here. It says, for you know as much that your labor is not in vain. Hallelujah. The word vain means it's not in temporary things. So temporary things should not have power over you. Say, nothing temporary has power over me. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean? As we close this morning, keep the fight. Fight for the vision. Fight for the church. Fight for souls. Fight. I told you it's a war. Fight for souls. Someone said something that blessed me. He said, when a young minister, pay attention, begins to know how to preach, right? Looking for how to preach before he knows how to win souls, he will be looking for platforms rather than for souls to be saved. You know the mandate. We have taught it in theology, in instructions. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on the ball. Fight for the vision. Fight for the goal. You have to fight for it. You have to fight for it. You have to fight for the vision. Fight. Fight every distraction. Ward them off. Fight. Be ready for the fight. Put on the old armor of God. Ephesians 6:11-12 tells you, put on the old armor of God that you may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. Having done all those stand, Paul says, stand therefore. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They are not carnal. They pull down strongholds. They cast out every imagination, everything and knowledge that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captivity, even to the obedience of Christ. There is a war. You must be ready to fight it. Hallelujah. Pray in other tongues as we close. Pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. In the coming year, we have a supernatural harvest in our ministry. In the coming year, I am consistent. I'm not just consistent, I am immovable. In the coming year, I am bound. We are bound from our first service to the second, to the third, to the fourth, to the 6th week and 7th week. We are immovable. We are consistent. In the name of Jesus, we are immovable. We are consistent. In the name of Jesus. You follow the mandates. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the situation in the world. Follow the mandate. There's a mandate. There's a mandate. There's a mandate. Follow it. There's a mandate. Follow it. Follow the mandate. Follow the mandate. Don't be like the car that follows every car. Or the ministry that follows every ministry. May the spirit of social media not envelope your church. May the influence of Facebook, things being said, trends, not dictate what you do in your church. May the things done in the world, in the news media, things said, not become your sermons. As you remain focused, consistent. Hallelujah. Pray in other tongues, come on. Pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Pray for your church. Pray for your ministry. Pray for your pastor. That your pastor is consistent. Your pastor doesn't deviate. Your pastor is not influenced by trends. Pray, 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 pray. Come on, pray. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Pray, 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 pray. Receive this now. Pray, pray, pray for your ministry. Pray for your church. Pray, pray, pray. Always abounding, 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 always abounding. Nothing will change your focus. Nothing will take your eyes off the mandate. You will fight for the vision. Fight for the church. Fight for the souls. Fight for the flock. Fight for the goal that you have set in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always abounding. Always abounding. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The work will grow. The work will abide. The work will abound. Nothing dies in your hands. Nothing dies in your hands. You are upward bound with the word. You are not going backwards. You are not going backwards. You advance forcefully. You go forward. Always abounding. Lift your hands. In all the earth, men are filled with your glory. Sing it out, come on. In all the earth, men are saved and are changed. Sing that song, come on. In all the earth, as we walk to your children.